Good morning. I welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church to celebrate the life of Angelo Mancini and to recall the promises of God which have been given to each of us. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though he die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." This is the promise of life eternal, a promise that was made to Ange and to you and to me. Let us know without a doubt that Ange now knows the fulfillment of this divine promise. Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Shout praises to the Lord, everyone on this earth. This is a day for remembering. It is a day for remembering the hope that is ours through the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise be to God who raises us to new life.
Please join me in a time of prayer. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word will stand forever. In this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us always. Amen. The first scripture reading for this morning is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, see what desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And also this morning, the familiar and comforting words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And I now invite Frank Mancini to share a few memories.
Good morning. It was suggested that I write down my thoughts before I get up here, so I wrote a few down. Chapter 1. It was a dark and stormy night. Oh, wait a minute. I've sat in these pews for extended periods, so maybe I should edit my comments down a little bit. I know how comfortable they are. I think my dad would agree that all Notre Dame alumni, fans, and supporters are welcome here. I think he would probably also say all Michigan and USC fans are welcome to stand in the parking lot. So feel free to make your way there now. I just want to pause a moment to take a mental picture of all the faces here today. I'm pretty sure there's not a person in here today that is at all surprised by the number of people in this room right now. My dad was truly a special person who deeply touched everyone who had the pleasure of knowing him. In fact, I never thought about it until right now, but maybe the secret to why he meant so much to so many people could be revealed if you simply remove the O from the end of his first name. Think about that for a minute. Now, I do know that the real reason Dad was so loved, that although he was not a regular churchgoer, although Carol Ann will tell you he attended church more often than many here because he cleaned here for many years and was here every single day, I believe he was more Christian in how he lived his life than many regularly attending church members. He was always quick to lend a hand or make a bowl of meatballs for someone in need. There was always an open invitation for holiday dinner tables to anyone who was lonely. And he would rarely have a harsh word for anyone, unless, of course, they were a USC fan. None of this is news to many of you in here, and I'm sure many of you have a story of a time when your life was changed, even just a little bit, by a simple gesture that Dad may have offered you. I strongly encourage you to not only share those stories with us, his family, but to share those stories with as many people, both in and outside of this room, as you can. Yes, you can even share them with USC fans, too. Do you sense a recurring theme here yet? Dad was many things to many people. I think perhaps how he is most remembered to a lot of people was as a teacher. Over the years, he taught hundreds of teenagers about I after E, except after C, and things like dangling participles, whatever the heck those are. But what may not be widely known is that the teaching didn't stop when he went home at the end of the day. Those of us who were blessed enough to be part of his actual family, or treated as if they were like family, learned a great deal more from Dad. Many of these things were great pearls of wisdom that will be treasured always. Some of these things, well, they fit into an entirely different category. Here's just a sample of some of the things we learned. And I know there are several of you, or maybe dozens of you, in the audience today who would agree with this. It never rains on a golf course. No matter how torrential the downpour was at home, we always heard, it never rains on the golf course. The ultimate Italian cook does not use a specific recipe or even exactly defined measurements. It's always a pinch of this or a handful of that. When we tried to get him to share his meatball recipe, it was like pulling teeth because he couldn't give us how much oregano and how much of the... just throw a little bit in. Just do a little bit of that. Never, ever underestimate the power of a well-cooked meal. I'm going to share a real quick story here. Freshman year in college, Mom and Dad visited. So Dad decided to bring a large pan of home-cooked lasagna. And in the dorm, the kitchen was down in the basement. And when that... anytime you cooked in the basement, of course you could smell in the entire building what was being cooked. I'll tell you, I never made more friends in my 4 years of Notre Dame than that one weekend when we had lasagna. Right, Bill? The two most important parts of the perfect living room are the recliner and the TV. There's always room for one more at the table. Now, this is something that most of us kids, and certainly all the grandkids learned. Don't ask Papa what happens if you don't brush your teeth regularly, because he would immediately pop his dentures out and show you. Although I don't think this is exclusive to Dad, I think it's a guy thing. You can never watch The Godfather too many times. And this is something that he shared, I know certainly with my boys and probably with most, if not all, college students. Two words of encouragement for all college students. Kick butt. Except, of course, he didn't say butt. Here's another bit of wisdom that he shared with the college students. If you don't have time to do your laundry, you can always turn your underwear inside out. No one will know. And probably perhaps the most important thing, which is certainly evidenced by these three rows over here, there's nothing more important than family. As my sister Kathy pointed out, Dad was always a teacher right to the end. Not only did he professionally teach hundreds of middle school students, but each day he taught his family how to live. And as he peacefully took his last breath, he also taught us how to die. I know for me, that was perhaps the most important lesson I could ever learn.
Thank you, Frank. Let us now hear the words of assurance as found in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwellings. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to there myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. As we gather this morning, we gather in the lights and the greens of the Advent season. It is the season in which we as Christians prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. It is always hard to lose someone we love deeply. However, at this time of the year, losing someone close to our hearts has a way of adding another layer of grief and sadness upon it. We remember Christmases past. We yearn to have all those who we love be around that Christmas table. And in our personal darkness, when the whole world seems to be bathed in holly jolly, we wonder if we will ever truly feel that so-called Christmas spirit again. Yet, it is the true spirit of Christmas that assures us that we will not be overtaken by this darkness that you find yourself in now. When we open ourselves to the promises of Advent and allow them to flow through us, we're wrapped in the comfort of God's love. For Advent reminds us that God sent a baby into the world to assure us that the promises of eternal life are for us, for all of us. God sent a baby into the simplest of all venues, a stable, to share the most complicated concept of all times, resurrected life. Indeed, Ange understood the sacredness of simplicity. I asked his family this week to give me words that described Ange. They all agreed that simple, in its most beautiful form, described their father, their husband. For Ange had a clear, uncluttered understanding and appreciation for what was important to him in life, his family, his friends, his God. Oh yeah, and you're right, maybe Notre Dame and Goff. He embraced the solid tenets of traditional values, teaching school at the Gates Middle School for over 30 years and married for 53 years, honoring his Italian heritage and respecting his Roman Catholic faith. And, as Frank said, was our church custodian for years and years and years, dating back to what we like to call the old church, the church on Buffalo Road. Well, I remember one late afternoon years ago, Angie and I were the only ones in the church. I had spent the afternoon putting up a new bulletin board displayed at the end of the hall, and I was back in my office, and I was delighted that I could mark off one task on my long list. And then I heard Angie's footsteps coming down the hall. "Carol Ann," he said, "I thought you might like to know that you have a grammatical error in the title on your bulletin board." "You've confused your prepositions." Well, all of the faces of my own English teachers floated in my head, because he was absolutely correct. Of course he was. Once an English teacher, always an English teacher. However, I share this story because I also remember how much I appreciated this small encounter, a simple gift of kindness. He had taken the time to actually read my bulletin board. He'd cared enough to protect me from my foolish mistake. And he had done so in such a big teddy bear kind of way. Ange was like a big teddy bear. The last time I visited him in the hospital, he was very weak. He could barely speak. I asked him if I could say a prayer with him, and with his smile, that great smile, he let me know that he welcomed the prayer. And when we were done, I asked him if I could give him a hug. Well, I got an even bigger smile. In his soft, weak voice, he said, "I always have time for a hug." And that was who Ange Mancini was. He always had time to care about the people around him, his students, his neighbors, his family, his friends. He always had time to laugh with them, to enjoy them, to play jokes on them, to care about them, to teach them, to love them. He always had time. In fact, in the last days of Ange's life, he was lying in the hospital bed, and he reached over to push the call button for the nurse. One might imagine that he needed ice chips, or maybe meds. But the nurse came into his room, and the nurse said, "How can I help you?" Ange gave the nurse one of those smiles, and in his weak voice, he said, "Can you find out what the score is of the Notre Dame game?" Yes. He always had time to love what he loved. Indeed, the Advent season is about anticipating the new life of the Christ child, the child that would grow to be a master teacher, teaching us the ways of God, sharing with us the promises of God. The words I read earlier were Jesus' words, words that he shared with his disciples at the Last Supper. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Ange Mancini knew those words, and he knew those words were for him. And without a doubt, Ange is now enjoying that place that Jesus prepared for him. Well, my guess is there are golf clubs in one corner and a huge Notre Dame pennant in another. We will miss Ange. But Ange has taught us, yes, the spirituality of simplicity. And he's done that by living the lessons taught to him by an extraordinary baby in a simple manger so many years ago. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gentle God, Creator and Savior, Giver and Redeemer of life, we praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and your light. We thank you for the life of your child, Ange Mancini, for the love he received from you and showed among all of us here. Hold and sustain Ange's family and all those who have surrounded him with love during his life. For his wife, Sue, and for their family, Kathleen and Randall, Vicky, Jim, Arlene, Frank, and Lisa. Their grandchildren, their great-grandson, and many nieces and nephews and cousins. For the many friends, students, and colleagues Ange had. Hear us now, O God, as we silently give you thanks for our own personal memories of Ange. Today and always, we praise your name for sharing Ange with us. Spirit of life, our love and hope is in you. That though Ange's life has ended here on earth, we trust he is united with you in a place where there will never be an end to love. In your name, we pray together, using the words of our own traditions, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Matthew.